We are returning this evening, before we pray, to the book of Zechariah, just to the left of Malachi. The 12th chapter is where we were last week and this week, and Lord willing, next week. Would you join me there in verse 10? And we are considering still the work of the Spirit of God and some of the promises that we find here are most encouraging. The Lord says in Zechariah 12, verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. And he elaborates on that in some length as the chapter concludes, and who's going to weep, and it looks like it's a pretty universal time of repentance there in Jerusalem. Now, last week, we sort of divided up these two offices, maybe a little bit artificially, but I think it does not do necessarily violence to the scripture when we said we looked at first that the Spirit of God can be thought of as the Spirit of grace. And we saw places in Scripture where that was manifestly so. And the Spirit poured out, rendered to the people of God abundant grace. And that particularly was clear in Acts chapter 4. It says as much. And this week we want to look at the second part of this, the spirit of supplication. And we notice the promise of his help, where he actually joins these two together. I will pour out on the house of David the spirit of grace and of supplication. It is as if it is the two things mixed and joined and combined into one. And I think that all of us will admit that to make supplication as we ought is going to take from God that spirit of grace. When he gives us grace, we have, let's say it this way, we have help to be supplicants or suppliants. We have help to supplicate. Now, pretty big word. What does supplicate mean? You can chase it down through the dictionary. And you get this sort of a circle. And let me just share with you what I did a while ago in that dictionary that weighs about 10 pounds back there. If you need to look at that, it's really interesting. But supplicate means to entreat. To entreat means to beseech. To beseech means to implore. To implore means to beg. And you find all this for yourself. To beg means to supplicate with humility. And so we're back in our circle, aren't we? We could have branched off a little bit in any one of these spots. For instance, to implore means to call upon. And we think of what Peter said to those in Jerusalem. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is obviously what he's describing here is just simply put a little bit less archaic word to it, and it would see the spirit of prayer, right? To supplicate means to pray. Now, I like how Paul puts this when he describes to the Romans some of the glory of the spiritual life that God has called us to. And over in the 8th of Romans, I'll just read this to you, and you can read this later for yourself. But he says, the creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God, and we ourselves are groaning for the redemption of our body. And he says, and we're hoping for it eagerly, with perseverance, we'll wait for it. And then he says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think we all have a a John Plowman's understanding of this. We have just a seat of the pants grasp of what Paul is talking about. Even that little blue-collar grasp of this is encouraging, isn't it? I mean, by saying it that way, I mean, I think there are depths here that elude us and that will elude us. He is speaking of the mystery of God inhabiting these mortal frames and helping us in this converse with the Almighty God and bringing forth from us and in us those things. Well, think of a parent teaching his young ones how to speak, how to talk, how to address him or her, how to approach any subject with caution and discretion and politeness. You teach these young ones this, and every one of us has been there. And your mother says, don't say it that way, and your dad says, don't address me like that, and then you having to learn how to speak. You're having to learn how to address. You're having to learn through much labor and work how to formulate your thoughts into ideas and into requests and into petitions. I'd really like that pair of shoes. I'd really like you to let me go to my friend's house next Saturday. I'd really like whatever you want. And you learn how to say it. God is teaching his people how to address him, how to speak to him. He's teaching them the language of Zion. He's putting in them proper and right desires. He's giving it to them to feel as he feels, and to see as he sees, and to bring these things before him, and then to enter into this relationship this glorious experience we have on our knees with our Heavenly Father. Now, this is our weakness, isn't it? Paul nails me right on the head. I was telling Ryan today at work, I said, brother, I just felt like I was praying against a brick wall today. I got up this morning and nothing was going right, just bang. And I know I could go to all these prayer journals, I can go to all these places in the scripture and read the words, and that's it's like priming the pump, I know, but for some reason I couldn't put two and two together. Paul says, this is our weakness. We know how to give money, we know how to give time, we know how to win souls, we know how to read the Bible, we know how to discuss things about the scripture, but to pray, to come before God himself, we need help. We need help. I need help. I'm just going to agree with Paul right now and say, you're right, you're right. And thank God that in that weakness, he helps us. Now, I think Paul knows. I think there was a time when he would resent or resist that very statement that he helps our weakness. I can almost picture Paul in the parable that Jesus told about these two men that went to pray in the temple. One's a tax collector, you remember. One's a Pharisee, like Paul was a Pharisee. And how does the Pharisee pray? Two men went up. The Pharisee stood there, and he was praying to himself. Thank God, I thank thee that I am not like other people. I'm not swindlers or unjust or adulterers. I'm not even like this tax gatherer over here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. And what would he tell you about prayer? I know how to pray. It's easy. You just come before God and recite all the good things that you've done and just thank him that you're not like that person or that person or that guy or that girl. And the Lord looks at the Pharisee. I know this is hypothetical, maybe. And he looks at the Pharisee with a sense of sadness and says he's praying to himself. But this fellow over here beating his breast, unwilling to even look up, saying, God, have mercy on me, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus says, as he finishes the parable, that fellow, God smiles upon him, and he goes home to his house justified. Now, we need this, don't we? We need that kind of help for God to open our eyes. This is what he's saying there in Zechariah. Again, we hope to come back to this. He opens their eyes. He shows them the Savior. He shows them themselves. He gives it to them to pray in the light of that thing that they've done. What have we done? We've pierced the Lord. We have crucified the Son of God. We've waited all these centuries, even millennia, for him to come. He came among us and we killed him. And the Spirit of God is going to open their eyes to see that, and it's going to produce a mourning like Jerusalem had never seen. Well, the Spirit of God did this because Jesus walks in their midst and they were blind. Jesus is raised from the dead, goes to the Father, pours out on Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and supplication, and now they see. We need help, don't we? We need the help of God's Spirit. Now, all through Scriptures, you see the Spirit of God helping His people with this great work, prayer. And we have been at some pains, not a whole lot, but some pains, to trace some of these through the Bible, Old and New Testaments. We hear and see the people of God praying, and it's a wondrous thing because we're seeing the help of God's Spirit coming out in mere humanity. Remember, always, you're looking at the great Bible heroes. You're looking at someone with a nature just like yours. He's weak. She's weak. They have failures that would make you blush if they were to say them, and of course you have yours that would make them blush. It was just, it's just, they're humans. They're made out of frail stuff. They have the same nature as you and I, but God touches them and blesses them and helps them and makes them victorious. And you watch this all through the Scriptures. Moses on the mountain. It's almost sublime to hear this man pray and say, "Lord, strike me if it would do any good to your people." And then the Lord says, "No." And then he says, and then he pleads and continues to plead, and he pleads until the presence of God is restored among the people of God. Now this, Lord, we need some Moseses. We need some in our midst that would pray and the Shekinah come among us yet again. I mean the church. God give them to us. Joshua in battle, who could call, how does this enter a man's thought to say to the sun to stand still? I don't know unless God gives it to him. And the sun just hangs there. For about how long? A day? And the moon's over here. It's not hastening down. It's like time just freezes. That'd be a great story. The kings, as they stand before their adversaries in battle, read the accounts of the kings. Some of them were atrocious. Some of them were glorious. Some of them were mere shams and pretenses and just puppets there on the throne. And some of them were God-honoring men after his heart. And then sometimes you see adversaries come against these men and they stand before the Lord and they just say, "Oh God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." The Lord helps them pray like he helped Hezekiah once pray. And then the prophet goes back and says, "Because you have prayed to me, says the Lord, I will do..." And all of it comes to pass. The Lord has helped his people. The psalmists, you see them pray in joy. You see them pray in sorrow. You see them pray in trouble. You see them pray in victory. I was marveling the other day at just this long psalm, and I'm sitting there thinking, it was a psalm of David, I forget which one, but he went on and on and on. And I'm thinking to myself, in my flesh, I'm thinking, "Get on with it. Go ahead, you've already said this." And then it struck me like a nice slap across the cheek. The Spirit of God is speaking through him, examining, probing, looking at different angles, beseeching the Lord about this, looking at it from this side, coming at it from that side. And I thought, this is the help of the Spirit of God. It's what I needed this morning, what David had at that very point. Now, there's other times when they're so troubled they cannot speak, like I felt this morning, and maybe you've felt from time to time. But when he helps, oh, and it's not always just long, long sentences, lengthy paragraphs. Read some of these psalms. They're just, they say them, they get their business done, and it's over. I used to tell my mother, "Yes, I've read a chapter of the Bible tonight." I was thinking of Psalm 117. I'd go back there and read it because it was so short. I'm glad I used to read it because now I can say it from heart. And I can go before God and just say, "Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Laud him, all ye peoples." And the Lord can help us to pray a short prayer. He can help us to pray a lengthy prayer. Or something in the middle, he can help us. But the point, the glorious point, is that God helps us to pray. In other words, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. This is fallen humanity, well, once fallen humanity, having to approach something that we have fallen from, something that we've terribly drifted away from, something that somehow we find we're not entirely yet copacetic with, at least in our lower nature. And we're having to learn, aren't we, bit by bit. Well, thank God, no one teaches like him. And there is no teacher like the Spirit of Truth to enable us and to equip us and to pray through us. Did you notice, we'll just say this in closing, groanings too deep for words. Sometimes he can sigh through you, or whisper through you, or weep through you, or groan through you, or shout, or clap, or rejoice. But thank God for the Spirit of grace and of supplication. And oh, let's ask the Lord to send us men filled with the Spirit again. Let's pray.